Again, we appreciate the Westpac presentation. Next up on our agenda is Resource Energies, Inc. And Ken, I'll let you make the introduction on that, please.
You bet, Chair. Thank you very much. Again, Resource Energy Incorporation is looking at constructing a export facility for LNG based off cook inlet supply. We have a reimbursement agreement to do a pre-feasibility analysis, and this is an update today. We have Mary Ann Pease that will be giving the presentation, and Mary Ann, and if it's okay, Chair, I would like to invite Mary Ann up to give the update on this.
Does she have a PowerPoint presentation?
I don't believe you asked that.
You let yourself open her. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Is it all right if A.G. Maizawa
joins
me at the table?
Welcome.
As well?
And no, they do not have a PowerPoint. In your packet, or that we sent, there was just a... yes.
John, what page?
If there's no PowerPoint presentation, can we please have you sit at the end of the table?
Okay.
So that we can all see you and hear you better? That would be better, including your guest.
Okay.
The document that Mary Ann will be working off is behind tab 7B.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Cruz, Zeta board members, Ted Leonard, and his staff. I want to thank you all very much for being here today. My name is Mary Ann Heath. I am the General Manager and Vice President for Resources Energy here in Alaska. I have with me today Mr. A.G. Maizawa. He is REI's Chief Operating Officer and Executive Vice President, now living here in Alaska. He's been living here since about August. And just yesterday, he had his first grandbaby. So we're glad that he's been here. You know, the Fukushima disaster of 2011 greatly changed the world in Japan. And REI immediately took a focus here in Alaska. They have a long history with Alaska, of course, through the ConocoPhillips plant and also the TAPS pipeline, where Nippon Steel supplied most of the pipeline for that project. So Resources Energy was comprised of a group of government folks that were seconded for the project, industrial customers, large industrial customers, the Hyogo Prefecture, which is a government entity, and also some of the larger companies that are very much in need of gas to replace the nuclear reactors that are no longer in place in Japan. So after many studies, numerous reports, lots of investments here in Alaska, we have come to a Cook Inlet LNG export facility. We refer to it as a small-scale facility, although it's about the same size as the project that exists today in Kenai. It's a 1 million ton per annum facility. It would utilize Cook Inlet gas on an aggregated basis, and the gas requirements for the project would be about 150 to 160 million cubic feet a day for that project. The plant itself would be module in construction for the first phase. It would allow expansion and opportunities to grow when an additional supply of gas would become available from the foothills or other regions of the state. The price of this 1 million ton facility we have estimated is at $1.35 billion, and that includes the associated power plant. We believe that there's about $150 billion of feed gas supply investment that would be needed to bring the aggregated supplies to market for a 20-year period. It's really important to note, though, that this project is indeed an export opportunity project. Although, that said, this is the first time in Alaska's history that we have a perfect matching of supply with demand, and very financially secure and well-financed backed demand in the Japan market. But there's a very nice twist to that. It's countercyclical to the Alaskan demand. And when you look at the demand in Fairbanks, the interior, and the rest of our state, it's a winter peak in demand, even here in Anchorage. In Japan, the peak in demand is during the summer months. And we have committed as part of this project to make sure that any surplus supplies would indeed be made available to the local market if they so desired. We would also be willing to make any surplus power demands, power supply available to the market as well through Wheeling North or, you know, in this region of South Central. We have completed numerous studies and reports. We have a data room that houses our economic model, our extremely well-developed reservoir economic model as well, and all the additional support for this project. As a matter of fact, just last week at the Oil and Gas Congress, we had over 30 companies that were here representing the government, industry, and other utilities, and JR Freight, the world's largest freight and trucking company, that brought and demonstrated to the Alaska Railroad as well as ADA the unique model that they have utilized in Japan for distributing in ISO containers on JR Freight. And they actually showed and demonstrated through movies and other illustrations how easy this way is to transport LNG. And that, again, was being provided just as, you know, an ancillary service. Those same rail cars are fabricated in a way in Japan that they could roll off the train onto a truck or a barge. And they basically serve as storage as well. So a very interesting concept, and of course as part of the data room that we have with you folks, you have access to all of that data and the information. Our project will be located in Port McKenzie, the Matsu Borough. We've been very appreciative of all of the mayor's and the city manager's support for our project. He has entertained more teams from Japan than I'm sure he has ever imagined, but we greatly appreciate their welcoming. We look at the Matsu Borough as a type of partner in this project. Government-to-government relationships with Japan is extremely important. They like to have the support of local government entities and feel that their project could contribute positively as well as for the export component of it. The economic benefits of this project are clear. We have a report that also details those reports. Not only will it be the construction jobs, the supply, off-lease infrastructure, processing, pipeline facilities, et cetera, but it will be also the sharing of technology and labor force development between the two countries on something that is a very known and standard way of operating in Japan. So we look at that as a very much a win-win for both sides. Japan has committed from the very start of this project to only supply gas on an export basis when there is sufficient needs for in-state and they have been met. And that is really a critical component. It was a component of the ConocoPhillips export permit, and it would be part of our project as well. The reservoir analysis, of course, is highly confidential. That's been completed. But it looked at absolutely all of the Cook Inlet producers today and looked at enough reserves in Cook Inlet where we would only require 35% of those 2P reserves over a 20 to 25 year basis for our project and still have plenty for the remaining utility load. So I think that's a significant finding, and I think as you look through the report here and look at what we have illustrated for you in our data room, it definitely proves that there is an opportunity. One of the things that I like living here in Alaska for almost 30 years is the fact that, you know, we're focused on Alaska, absolutely. But in order to keep that drilling, in order to keep that economic development and that Cook Inlet going, we need to have a large, financially secure base where our gas has a market to reach, or we're going to end up in the same situation we are today with relatively high gas prices for South Central and stranded reserves that will not be developed because there's no substantial market for those reserves to match with. And that's the unique benefit of this project. It matches supply and demand. We had entered into a MOU with REI and ADA, and it's for a cost-sharing project, as we described and I'm sure you're all familiar with. We recently announced that KBR is our EPC feasibility study partner, and they are doing a desktop and feasibility study that will be completed here at the end of October. And it will give and shore up all of the cost estimates. It'll have an actual plot land on our proposed site, and it will give the details and clarity of what is needed to make this project a realization, with deliveries to be started prior to 2020. And that is the timeline that we are operating under. There are numerous Japanese partners, many to name. The database lists all of the qualifications of those entities. We mentioned a couple in this letter. This is just, you know, a minuscule portion of them. We have been in conversations with the Sojitz, the major trading houses, Mitsui, and we also have had here, especially this last week, great involvement by Mitsubishi Gas Chemical, Itami Sanyo, Nippon Telephone and Telegraph, Nippon Steel, to name just a few of the entities that have been very proactive on this project. Who are the potential proponents of the project? Well, during the Oil and Gas Congress, there was a presentation by one of the Cook Inlet producers, and I said, well, how supportive of an export project would you be for Cook Inlet? And he goes, of course we would be highly supportive, because many of these smaller independents, other than the Hill Corp with the standard contracts, have not been able to monetize that gas. This provides another avenue, another opportunity, and I think that's a win-win for Alaska as well as Japan. The operator of the project, of course, would be a U.S.-based operator with qualified LNG experience. We would also look to a qualified operator as an aggregator of those Cook Inlet assets. We are in confidential discussions with a very large company based in Houston that we will be prepared to announce to you folks probably by the end of this year as a potential partner in the project. And where else have we looked here? Well, in addition to the 2P reserves, we've also given a very, very robust economic model that shows comparison of comparable facilities, all of the marine tracking costs and associated advantages of being here in Alaska to Japan, and also the ability to look at a net cash flow model that is included in our due diligence review. On a side note, KBR is a worldwide expert in LNG, and they have built LNG plants literally around the world. They have 27,000 employees, and they operate in 70 countries and 6 continents. And we look to them as a very strong partner as we go forward. We have the next step timeline. We have, here we are in the September, and we continue to work and refine the letters of interest with the Japan market participants, as well as we've completed the selection of the EPC contractor. We're looking at a very aggressive regulatory preparation that goes forward. As part of the Alaska Oil and Gas Congress, we had Ed Myers up here. He is with DOE and is very much in charge of Alaska export projects and their kind of attorney general counsel review for the agency. He was very pleased with the progress that REI has made. He invited us to come back again and meet with not only him, but FERC. And the one message from the DOE perspective that I think is so encouraging this year, and as you well know, with Secretary Menez up here, he said, Alaska will be treated different than the lower 48. Well, hallelujah, we always knew that, and now it was actually, you know, said. And that gives us a great advantage for this project. I look at everything being fairly aggressive as we move forward. We have always had discussions with all of the Cook Inlet producers, and we will continue to have conversations with them because we believe this represents a very large-scale opportunity for expansion and development of Cook Inlet. By the end of this year, we will have conditional agreements from our Japanese and U.S. partners, and we will have conditional offtake agreements from those partners as well. And by January and February, we're looking at basically securing up everything that's necessary to move the project forward into development. We will have a plant operator. We will have an upstream aggregator. We will have finalized everything associated with the site acquisition, and we will have implemented the FERC preparation process. I know it's an aggressive timeline, but this project is very much needed on an aggressive timeline, and I look forward to continued discussions with you folks as we continue to develop and enhance the project with the very specific information that's needed to make it a reality. And the one other thing I was asked to explain is this a North Slope project? Are we competing with the producers? That couldn't be further from the truth. This is a Cook Inlet project on a very different timeline. It's at Tidewater. We need about 15 miles of pipe to connect this into the NSTAR distribution system. And when the North Slope pipeline comes available, from whichever source it becomes available, we will welcome it. There is 200 trillion cubic feet of gas in the North Slope, the foothills, offshore I didn't even bring into play. And I can tell you, with an 80 to 100 million ton per annum demand in Asia, in Japan specifically, this project is a drop in the bucket. Even the producer project is a drop in the bucket. So we will welcome any and all additional gas supplies. We have worked with Anadarko in terms of data review, and we see this all as a positive opportunity and nothing competing. Completely, completely separate. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marianne. Appreciate it. Questions for board, Mike?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Marianne, and thank you so much for the partnership with ADA that, you know, it, in a lot of the work I do, it's fascinating to reflect that it was Alaska and Japan that pioneered the LNG trade between North America and Asia. Now, the rest of the country is trying to catch up with us as we are starting to go to the next generation of gas from Alaska. The partnership between ADA and REI is, in my mind, so important because of what you said. The governor, looking at the Cook Inlet challenges years ago, pushed with the legislative branch to change the trajectory of Cook Inlet. Well, in many ways, we succeeded so much more than any of us actually thought at the time. And unlocking the commercial impediment to developing those gas reserves is the real challenge that we're facing as a state right now in the Cook Inlet region. Advancing this project is one opportunity as we're looking at others as well. So the partnership is deeply appreciated at ADA. Thank you for the effort you're putting forward on behalf of the half of the state, and look forward to reviewing the data room.
Okay. Crystal? Question. I wanted to thank you for your presentation today. As I said prior, this is my backyard, so I'm a little partial to it. The economic benefit that you outlined here specifies that there's going to be some local labor factors as well as local business. What's right. Your estimate on jobs right now in that area?
Right now on jobs is between 1,000 and 2,500.
And that's construction jobs?
That's construction related.
And then what about operating?
Operating jobs will be slightly ramped down, but still you're probably going to look at between ancillary services and housing and everything else, it's probably going to be in the 800 range.
Thank you very much.
Gary, you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
No problem. Just out of curiosity, at full production with the plant, based on your modeling, and ship, how many ships a year would come in, would leave to go
to go to Japan.
Okay, well, it takes about 7-8 days to get to Japan from here, and we're looking at 2 ships every 7 days. So, quickly, Nick, help me on the map. How many ships is that?
only 7 to 8 days navigation.
Right.
From Alaska. Each way, so it's 14.
The U.S. shale gas through Panama Canal, 22 days, so mm-hmm. one trip. So shale gas, marine cost is $3 per MMBTU, while Alaska to Japan only $1. Mm-hmm. That would be very big impact on gas cost.
So two ships, you're talking about 24 trips a year.
Right. And what we are visualizing at Port McKenzie, we are not using any of the existing dock facilities other than for bringing in the supplies and the goods and the staging of the work that will be taking place. Given the nature of this project, we need a dedicated berth, and it would be available only for this, you know, project going forward.
The other thing, Mr. Chair, members of the board, that we've learned in watching the Panama Canal and the expansion project is that there are likely to be quite a lot of traffic jams trying to get from one side to the other. That's another big advantage Alaska has, is we've got as much water as we need to get from Alaska to Japan.
No locks.
Yes, exactly. Mr. Chair, I appreciate having this presentation. This is a resolution the board voted on several months ago. I realize, for proprietary reasons, there's not public information that the board will be looking at as well. But this is one of those we voted on, and it's nice to have an update hearing back on it. So thank you for putting it on the agenda.
Again, thank you.
Can I do a PowerPoint
sure.
next time?
You can do PowerPoint next time. We will also look forward in the public forum another update. I would imagine within probably the next 90 days, Ted. Is that?
Oh, you bet.
It's a very important project, important both Japan but Alaska. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be great that the public is informed on what's going on and all the efforts you folks are doing. So, thank you very much. Okay, so next up is Mercury Energy Project. We could update. It's a potential PowerPoint for Ted. How long will that take, do you think?
With MWH, it won't take too long. So we actually have two chairs in the IEP update. We would like to bring up IGU, wanted to give a very quick update on their project, and MWH has a quick update. So it shouldn't take more than 20 minutes.
Would it be all right for the presentation that we munch while they give the presentation with that MWH and ICU?
Yep. Everyone put a PowerPoint between this group and lunch.
Yeah. I'm going to have a coup if I don't do this here. So why don't we take 10 minutes to get lunch, and then we'll both in PowerPoint and just work right through it.